Hello, and welcome back to Soul Speak. I'm Meg Michelson. Thanks so much for joining. And if you're new, thank you for giving this a try. If you're returning, I so appreciate that you came back. In today's episode, I'd like to continue the conversation from a previous episode about how we attach to outcome. And how that's related to our ego. You know, our ego is here and necessary, our self-esteem, and our movement toward our destiny. So welcome. So we all have an attachment to outcome. It's part of our human experience. And there's nothing we can do to completely eradicate that. It's to get comfortable with the notion that attachment to outcome is part of our life. Attachment to outcome, our ego, and our self-esteem, those are all connected. Going beyond that, how we're living those and on what scale, in what ways, is directly tied to how achieving what our soul came to achieve is possible. Going after our destiny and our dreams, as we spoke about last week. And like I said, it's part of the human experience to attach to outcome. It is. We all do it. We always will, because we're physical beings. We're physical beings here on earth, and most everything we do for a reason. We eat because our bodies need sustenance. We connect with others because our heart yearns for that. We have a job because we need the income, and also, hopefully, if we're following our destiny, our job, our career brings us satisfaction. We exercise to keep our body healthy. Some do it for physical appearance as well. And some do it with others, exercise as a way to connect. So it's multifold, but all attached to an outcome. We read to learn or be entertained. We rock climb for the adventurous connection we desire. We sit on the couch and turn on the TV because we want to relax or escape. Sometimes some people drink alcohol or do drugs to escape the thoughts and, again, relax if they can't on their own. Those are all ways we as humans consistently attach to outcome. We do things with a purpose in mind. What gets in the way is when we're too attached to outcome and we stop living in the present moment. We worry that we won't get what we want, or we worry that it won't go as planned. Sometimes we worry about things that we have no control over. Man, does that do a number on us. Someone I know used to imagine all this great fun she was going to have on vacation. And she did that so big in her being that she was always disappointed with the reality of her actual experience. Why? Because she wanted it to go the way she wanted it to go. She had this beautiful, magical child archetype within her, and she'd get all excited about the potential. And she hoped and expected everyone would want it. And she hoped and expected everyone would want the same things she did. She wanted it to go a certain way, and she'd get excited and make the plans. And she maybe didn't even consult other people, but she really felt like, oh, everyone's going to want to do this. You know, we're all individuals with unique differences, moods. Sometimes we want to do stuff, sometimes we don't. Our wants and our vibes don't always match with those around us, even if we chose to go on vacation with them, depending on where we're at that moment in time. So the disappointment became so big for her that it could literally ruin her trip. That is big attachment to outcome. If you run the magical child, that sometimes is part of your life. We'll talk archetypes a different day. And we will always be disappointed if we set the path of what we want and we forget our needs may be different than the needs of others. That lovely woman was also unknowingly attached to her ego in a shadow way. And what does that even mean? Well, as we know, we all have an ego. We've all heard it many times. We sometimes hear just the shadow of it, the conceited or selfish. But having an ego is part of being in the physical body. What is an ego? Why is it necessary? It's not wrong, right? It's how we choose to allow it to guide us. According to the Oxford Language Online Dictionary, an ego is a person's sense of self-esteem or self-importance. You know, we do things to get a boost in our ego. It's how we understand our own value and our own self-worth. An ego is absolutely necessary to help us understand and work with self-respect, our boundaries, and how we define ourselves as individuals from other people. The ego part of our mind mediates between the conscious and the unconscious, and it's responsible truly for reality testing. Where are we in reality? Where are we not in reality? That's what our ego can help us with. It can ground us. It can tell us the truth when we are awake to the gifts of it. And it can really help us define our sense of personal identity. How are we different from others? Our ego helps us want to do a good job, do things well. I started taking piano lessons a few weeks ago, and that's not an easy task for me. My fingers don't really want to do what I'm asking them to do. So it's really humbling and sometimes frustrating. But my ego is helping me stay the course because I'm going to be disappointed with myself if I quit. And that's my ego in a healthy way. I'm not taking piano to impress others. I'm doing this uncomfortable commitment to learn and grow something new that will help my brain. My mom struggled with dementia her later years in life, and that made an impact on me. And I know it's important to keep our brain active and learn new things. So one of the things I do is now struggling with being a piano player. But I'm also doing it because I see and hear so many musicians at the open mic we hold at Well House, and they're stretching themselves and having fun. Of course, it's really nerve-wracking at first, you know, when it's their first time up there, but they continue. I want to stretch myself in that way too. I like to walk the talk. Whether or not I ever play in public, that's yet to be determined. And I used to really want to sit down and play like Mozart, which I probably may never get to. It's no longer why I'm doing it. If I choose to play the piano because I was attached to the end game, that would take the fun and learning out, and I'd be even more frustrated. So I try to keep it light. I try not to attach to outcome, and that keeps my ego in a healthy state. So what's a healthy ego versus an unhealthy ego? Remember, there are 1,000 shades of gray in life. There's not black or white with anything, really. Healthy and unhealthy ego is always on a scale, and we don't always recognize where we are at any given moment. We can be an unhealthy ego, and someone might point it out, or we have an aha, or we realize, God, I'm being an ass, and no one around me really likes me. It is always easier, though, to understand where we are at whatever moment that is, based on what our intention is. What is my intention in this moment? So knowing where we're at on the ego scale and that attachment to outcome scale takes a moment of self-check-in. And the more we self-check-in, the easier it is to get that information quickly. It's a little harder at first because you're not used to it. It's a new pattern. So you want to keep at it. So a person's ego reflects how they see themselves and, of course, their self-worth. So, of course, our self-esteem is directly tied to our ego and vice versa. You know, when someone truly feels good about themselves, they've gotten to the place where they understand themselves pretty well, like they really authentically feel good about themselves. And their self-worth does not depend on what's going on outside, that external validation. And of course, if we become too much of holding out anyone else, that external connection, now we can be on the shadow ego on the other side. So remember, it's always gray, but we want to check in with our intention and how are we affecting those people around us. So let's start with the ways we can be unhealthy with our ego. Unhealthy tends to be self-centered. When we are not empathizing with others, when we're doing things and disempowering other people to get our way, that's unhealthy. You know, we can do that in an argument where we just want to be right, and so we'll take away someone else's power by yelling or name calling or trying to belittle. That's an unhealthy ego. That's tending to be self-centered. The unhealthy ego can appear selfish, obviously. When we're being too selfish, we can be too demanding, or we can be reckless. Like I'm driving down the road and someone is flying by so fast and weaving in and out of traffic because they have to be somewhere at a particular time, that is being selfish. That's shadow ego. And that's reckless. They might hurt other people, or they might be racing like that for fun. They're trying to have fun without thinking of the consequences of how that might hurt other people. Or they try to control those around them and not take others' needs and wants into the equation. It's another way. Like the woman I spoke about earlier, lovely woman. She unconsciously got caught up in her own needs and what seemed like magic and fun to her and her own wants. And she expected everyone on the trip to want those same things. She would be really angry and disappointed with those that did not cooperate because she felt such strong disappointment. It really took her years, and I'm not joking, it took her years to understand what she was doing. She really had no idea that it was in that shadow part of her ego, that she was being in her own little bubble, or I'll call it your own private Idaho, where we are failing to see how our behavior is affecting other people. And that really does get in the way of our beautiful divine self. We can also be overly critical of self when we're in shadow ego. And we can also be overly critical of others, or we can be critical of self and not accept compliments and complain about ourselves to others about how bad we are or miserable we are, or you know, whatever our complaints are. So talking negatively about ourselves, that's a huge sign of being too fragile in our ego. You know, that's not having enough self-esteem to understand, yeah, we all have flaws, but we don't want to focus on them unless we're going to do something to shift them, not just complain about them. People that have that energy, that are feeling the shadow ego in a disempowered way, they often are complaining or describing themselves negatively, focusing on all the things they can't do, and not looking at all the things they have done. When I work with clients, it is often when I'm first starting out with somebody that I remind them, let's look at some of the good things that have happened this year, not just all the negative things. Because remember, we want to be in balance, but they're in that shadow ego of being too hard on themselves. We want to recognize our strengths, talents. We want to be in the median. What other ways can a shadow ego show up? How does it show up in our body? In our mindset? Well, when we're in shadow ego, stress in our head, our jaw, our gut often takes a hit. A lot of people that struggle with an unhealthy ego also have a very unhealthy gut. Also could be shoulder pain because we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders because we don't want to ask for help. And like I said, those gut issues, and there's many people that have gut issues, that's that third chakra issue. The third chakra is your upper belly, your mid back. And this is our solar plexus. That is our engine. That's our self-esteem center. So when we are too controlling, it's going to hurt our jaw. It's also going to hurt that third chakra, our self-esteem, because when we're not getting our way, our gut starts to take the hit. Or when we don't feel empowered enough to use our voice, our gut takes the hit, just like our throat and our jaw. It's all connected. Another way when we are in that shadow ego is we're not doing things because we're afraid of looking silly. So we just don't try new things. Not trying new things because we fear being embarrassed. A man I knew seemed so confident on the outside. Everyone thought he was so confident. However, he wouldn't try anything new in front of anyone. He would do it in practice when people weren't around until he felt like he knew what he was doing. He had such a fear of being less than that if he wanted to learn, like I said, he would not do it in front of other people. He'd practice it, and then he could join the group and do it, whether it's 2 days or 20 days or years later. It's not a really fun way to live when we are so afraid to look silly, to not look great at something. We also are in shadow ego when we're a little too defensive. We're not able to accept criticism. Being in the shadow ego can cause us to lack self-awareness, often to the point that we become blind to our personal flaws and resistant to acknowledging any areas for improvement. You know, then we blame others. Hard to accept criticism from others when we are feeling, first of all, less than, or also when we're not even looking in the mirror. So it can be from both. How else? Perfectionism. Perfectionism can be so disabling, and perfectionism at the end of the story, and I've talked about perfectionism before, is when we are feeling like we're not good enough. So everything we have to do has to be just right. And on another vein of that is needing too much attention, craving attention. You know, sometimes I see people that talk with their hands, you know, all of us maybe talk with our hands sometimes, but when it's always talking with your hands, that is a sign of feeling in that shadow ego of not feeling like I'm enough. True. It's all connected to the heart and the fifth and the third chakra. Another way is when we are in too much indecision. What if this is the wrong way? I'm not going to make a choice. I know a woman that doesn't even like to order at a restaurant. It'll take her so long because she's so afraid that if she's going to order it, that's not going to taste the best. That's an attachment to outcome. Instead of remembering it's just whatever, a $15 or $25 meal, and next time she can choose differently. But what if it's the wrong way? So I'm not going to decide. That can really freeze us, that indecision. And also we can have, when we're in shadow ego, too much attention on our physical appearance. Caring about what we look like is a lovely thing because we have one body and our body houses our soul. So we are meant to take care of our physical body. Just ask ourselves why. Am I doing this because I don't feel like I am pretty enough? Am I doing this because I'm afraid what other people will think? Or am I doing this because this is what I want to do for me? What's my intention? And whatever it is, at least be self-aware about it. Because oftentimes, if we're doing that, if we're going overboard, we're being too self-critical. And another way is not forgiving others. You know, we get stuck in my life isn't great in whatever regard that is. Like a long time ago, I brought up that man that was still struggling with forgiving his brother from when they were young in their house. And it was because he wasn't happy with some things in his life. So he still held on to that. Until we release that, our body holds that. And then we are lacking that self-empowerment. We're attached too much to the ego state of what went wrong with my life and who's to blame for that. So we can hold grudges and blame others instead of recognizing how empowered we are. And we can always change our circumstances. It takes determination, takes commitment. It takes like my 30 minutes of piano practicing every day. That is that commitment to do something better. And if we want to do it, it's much easier. The have to makes it harder. The want to is easier. Another way we can be in the shadow of our ego is needing too much acceptance. Too many positive kudos from others. I used to really struggle with that. I'd like to have everyone know what I was doing. And that helped me feel worthy. And that's that needing too much acceptance. And it is nice to receive compliments, absolutely. And it's really wonderful to know that our work is valued. And we don't want to do it just for that reason, right? We want to do it as service, if it's a service-oriented industry you're in. But we also want to do it because it feels good internally. What else? Gossip. Gossiping about others because their flaws make us feel better about ourselves. You know, when we're looking to find flaws in others or comparing, that can really be the shadow ego. And it can be disempowering because it doesn't feel good. It hurts our body. It hurts our jaw. It hurts our gut when we're gossiping. And it also keeps us not feeling like we're enough. And on that vein is lacking boundaries in our speech and also doing too much for others. So there's a million ways I could just keep talking. Making decisions. When we make decisions, sometimes we can make a decision absolutely not taking anyone else into effect. Sometimes that decision is going to affect other people. So we really want to be taking the needs of others into account. So looking at what's this decision about and who is it going to affect besides me? And the last thing I'm going to talk about with the shadow is being manipulative. It's really easy to be manipulative in the shadow ego. So that could be using our emotions to make people feel sorry for us, or it could be bullying, or it could be talking over somebody. It could be yelling. Those things are manipulative to get our own way. We're manipulating the situation. So being careful, always checking in with self. If you want to grow, and those that are listening to the podcast are here because on some level, hopefully, they want to grow. So what about a healthy ego? And remember what I said. Remember, this is a scale with a lot of gray between. And we can be in between these like a ping pong game all the time. Healthy, unhealthy, healthy. That's why we want to be having moments during our day to check in. So what's a healthy ego? That involves being self-aware. Being self-aware, not being overcritically of self, not being overly critical of self. That's different. But being self-aware means we are recognizing what we're good at, recognizing our strengths, and also recognizing what we want to improve on. What are those weaknesses? And are those weaknesses actually getting in our way? And then we can even take that a step further and have a willingness to find ways to improve our relationship with ourselves, improve how we communicate with ourselves, improve how we are living our life, and improve our relationships with others. That is a beautiful ego in a healthy way. Keeping with that drive time of 20 to 30 minutes, we're going to continue this next week. And we're going to talk more about what is a healthy ego. How do we live in that state of healthy ego? How does that connect to our soul's desire and our destiny? So thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to continuing this ego outcome conversation next week. Have a beautiful week.